was in the building.
Yo, the Talking Talker, back. Look, we're not taking weeks off anymore.
Nope.
Listen, this one was tough to get Nick Dennis, and now, guys, we're getting joined by Julio to get in the studio at the same time to get this thing going. But DC, punctual, on time,
yes,
available, as always, setting the standard for what a podcaster should be.
Can we edit out the chul?
So through
DC punk.
So through it all, we are here, ready to give you another show. How's it going, boys? How's it going?
Good. We were gonna alternate DC this time, but you showed up on time. It was crazy. We didn't know what to do.
What do you mean? I'm always on time.
True.
Yeah, that's true.
You're always on time.
I may not always be there when you call, but I'm always on time. Now, I wish we actually had, like, music to where, like, we could, like, you know, have Ashanti singing that right now, you know. I'm not always there when you call, but I'm always on time. I've got a really good singing voice. Yeah, you got to admit it.
I'll try it again.
Wait, we got.
No, I'm done. Yeah. I'm done. When you tell me to do it, I can't do it on command, you know?
You got to check us out on YouTube because you will see how DC danced for that. That was pretty good.
I got to move those shoulders.
Shoulder wiggle.
We got to get people, like, not only, like, downloading the podcast at the website, iTunes, Google Play, go and watch it on YouTube.
Yeah.
I think it's very important that when we give out the link, you guys give me the YouTube link so we can send people there, because right now our views are pretty pathetic.
Yeah.
It's very sad to have 1,000 views as our highest viewed podcast, Nick.
I think Julio said we've got an official
URL now. Yeah.
We do.
YouTube.com/TalkingTalkerPodcast.
Talking Talker Podcast?
Yeah.
Nice. That should help.
Brand new.
That should really help Julio.
Thank you, DC.
Julio will not look at you. He only looks straight ahead.
I was just thinking of, like,
won't look at the TV.
I was watching Raw right now, and then I got interrupted to come on the podcast. So
I told him we have a new segment. Dennis and I are gonna take a nap, and you guys are gonna do a 5-minute WWE love fest.
We should definitely do that every week, Julio, but not tonight because I haven't gotten to watch Raw yet. I was at wrestling practice.
Spoilers.
I was at wrestling practice with my kid. We got through one state tournament last week, and we got another one next weekend. So,
are you going to Mania?
I was going to go to Mania, but I'm gonna have to start training for Stipe. Oh, I'm gonna have to start getting ready to fight the champ. This is not easy. I have to. I got to fight the champ, and it worries me. So I got to get ready to go.
When does camp start?
I'm gonna start mid-April. Do 10 weeks, a 2-week pre-camp. 10-week hard camp, try to just be fit and ready to go 5 hard rounds with this guy. He's going to be tough, but I feel like I'm going to get it done. I feel very strongly inside of me that I'm going to beat this dude.
Nice. You know what I did yesterday that made me think of you?
What?
I was at the airport, and the person was just taking forever to give me my ticket. So I, as light as I could, I put my foot on the little luggage scale just to see if anything would happen.
Why? Why would you do that?
I don't know. I just wanted to.
Why would you do that? Of course it would happen. It went up, didn't it?
Yeah, it went up. I was like, this is amazing.
You can really manipulate those scales, but I don't have to do that this fight. I'm in the clear. I've lately been trying to get my hands up in the air just to show I'm not touching the towel.
Is this your?
That's a good one.
Is this like his poker? This is like we found his poker tell.
That's early. Yeah. Hey, every time I like lie about the scale, I like yawn. Oh shit! DC's lying about his weight again. Bob, though, how much you weigh? I'm like 211. No, you tired? So tonight we're gonna be joined by Michael Chiesa, one of my favorite guys, man. He's one of the highest ranked lightweights in the world. I think he's number 9 right now in the latest rankings. Fighting Anthony Pettis, at UFC 223. Is it 23 in Brooklyn? The main event's Khabib versus Tony Ferguson. So he's got a big fight coming up, man. One of the most talented, one of the nicest guys that you'll ever meet. And Michael Chiesa wrote me this letter once when I was fighting against Volkan Ozdemir, and I'm going to share it. Now, he put it on his Instagram, so it was meant to be shared, you know? And I want to read it to the general public because Michael Chiesa is one of my favorite guys, man. And not because of this, but because of his love of wrestling, his love of fighting, and just his overall mentality when it comes to competition. I like the dude. I mean, I can't lie. I really like the dude. So you guys talk to me while I try to find this on Mike's Instagram. Oh, here it is. I got it.
Saved by the bell. Dennis and I were both like, we looked at each other like, I got nothing going on in my head, do you? And Dennis clearly had nothing going on in his.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Come on, guys.
Julio was looking on his phone to see if he had it, which he...
No, I was checking the recording.
Here, so Mike is going to call in about 9 minutes. But before, I want you guys to listen to what Michael Chiesa wrote me on January 20th before I went to fight Volkan Ozdemir.
And you guys, set the stage for this. You guys had like a texting relationship before this?
No, no. This was on his Instagram before. He's always told me, honestly, about real pro wrestling, about my fight career. Every time he talked to me about my wrestling, I was like, wow, this kid has been watching for a long time, and he's really been in tune with what's been going on.
Yeah.
But I never knew how much, because I don't know if you can see this, but it's a picture of me after I made my second Olympic team, and Damian Hahn is like, you know, down on the ground, as you would expect a guy to be after he lost out on what he chased his whole life. Damian's a great guy. Mike wrote, I grew up watching you compete in real pro wrestling. I cut out your pictures from my USA Wrestling magazines. I bought the same combat speeds you're wearing in this picture because you had them. Combat speeds were a wrestling shoe that I wrestled in my entire wrestling career. He said, you're on my decorated list of childhood heroes, but that's not going to stop me from coming for one of your many titles. I'm not interested in your UFC title. I'll win one on my own. I'm not interested in any of your team captain titles either. I want your title of King of the Grind. I am coming for it as we speak. In this profession, sometimes you have to beat your heroes in order to be like them. So go put a whipping on this guy tonight, then get back to the grind, because I'm coming for that King of the Grind title, and I will not be denied. Good luck tonight, my friend. Hey,
That's pretty sweet.
That's pretty cool, huh? That he wrote that to me.
Yeah.
That for all that a guy has done in two sports that him and I have competed in that we've crossed, he's coming for the title of me just working hard. You know, I've always kind of been known as a guy that just works really hard. That's how that whole nickname came about, the King of the Grind, because I just work and I work and I work and I work and I work.
Where did it come from?
And he said he wants that. So Mike DeSabato was the guy that sponsored me with Cage Fighter. And he'd come to the gym and he would watch me. And he was like, dude, he was like, I've got this great idea. And I was like, well, what is it? He goes, you know, wrestlers, you guys grind. You know, like, it's always a grind with wrestlers. And he goes, you got to embrace the grind. That was the slogan, right, for Cage Fight, embrace the grind, embrace the grind. But he goes, you're not only embracing it, you rule it. He goes, you're the king. He goes, you are the king of the grind. He goes, you're not just working. He goes, you are working so hard to get to 205, to compete with these younger guys, to put yourself in this situation. He goes, you're the king of the grind, DC. And the next thing you know, I had a T-shirt that said King of the Grind. Nice. And then he started hashtagging King of the Grind. And I was like, and everybody loved it. They were like, oh, my God, because we're looking at this guy who's 5'11 on a good day fighting giants. And he's not only winning, he's winning impressively. You know, obviously he's making up for all these these deficiencies in some of these areas in terms of height, reach, all this, yeah, in his work ethic. And they bought into it. And people bought those shirts in droves. They bought the Embrace the Grind shirts. They bought the King of the Grind shirts. They bought the Breakbone shirts. They just really got behind me, and it just kind of stuck. And now, even though Cage Fighter doesn't sponsor me anymore, it stuck to me. You know, that King of the Grind, it's kind of been with me, and I love it. And to have a guy say, another guy, a highly rated fighter, top 10 in the world, say, I just want to work harder than you, man, that's a compliment that stands above most compliments that you will get from people in this profession.
You know, I went when I did the bike workout that one time, I think I caught you on an off day because I don't remember the King of the, I remember thinking, Bob, why the fuck? Why isn't DC pedaling hard?
Yeah, come on. That's a myth. You're making that shit up. I know we like to bust balls. Maybe. No, if I was wasn't.
You weren't
I
in camp. You weren't in camp. I think you were only there
to work with you.
Yeah, I think you were only there to mess with me a little bit.
If I went there to torture you, then yeah, I probably wasn't pushing the bike that hard because I was saving my energy.
I think Kane was only using his arms. He wasn't even using his legs on the bike. I was just sitting there. Everyone basically laughing at me.
We're just sweating just to get with Nick during the drills because we know how much he hates it. When are you going to come back, though? I heard that you've really mastered this bike. It's time to come back in the room.
I think we're all coming back for this camp.
I'm ready.
Yeah. Tell us when you come.
Do the bike.
What? Yeah, we do the bike workout.
Come on, Nick. Don't lie to me.
What?
You guys are going to do the bike workout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're going to make a rule that we can wear shoes as long as they've never been worn anywhere else before. Last time you guys wouldn't let me wear shoes.
I'd be the first to break a toe.
My feet were I felt like I was walking on hot coals for like 2 weeks.
Why? Why?
I don't know. I was just convinced, like, oh, come on, let me wear some shoes. Yeah, so we're going to do it.
Bring wrestling shoes. Bring wrestling shoes.
Yeah.
Or boxing shoes. You just can't wear tennis.
Yeah.
No, you can wear boxing shoes.
No, we're going to do it.
Yeah. The issue is, if you have such an issue walking on the ground, you're going to hate grappling on the ground.
Oh, I got some pretty good takedown defense now. I'm good.
Come on. You're going to get thrown on your ass.
Like, wow, that's pretty ballsy.
And then I'm just going to put my fucking sweaty.
Die either way, bro.
I'm not going to go with Nick until we're like 17 minutes in and my shirt is just drenched.
I do remember you guys would all take turns like lying on top of me and let me up slowly. But I remember Kashik wasn't even doing the class. He just walked in real quick. And I had an appreciation for what you guys go through because he put me in a what's the choke? You know, I can't even think of the
guillotine.
Word.
Guillotine.
He put me in a guillotine, and like, I don't know. I don't think he was probably pulling very hard, and I literally felt like there was so much pressure on the back of my neck that I started panicking. I'm being like, seriously, fucking stop. And he did exactly what you did. He started giggling and laughing, and all joking aside, I was literally worried that I was going to fucking break my neck in this thing. Like, I was absolute panic. I always think of that when I watch these fights, and I'm like, dude, I don't think anyone understands how much pressure is on their fucking neck when they're doing all these things.
But guys are like, there's ways to kind of like alleviate that pressure a little bit. You know, getting on your toes, getting into your opponent, driving forward into them. There are ways to stop.
So panicking and trying to push your head back is not the best approach.
No. You can't.
Screaming is.
You can't just like freak out, right? Like a lot of times you feel like you want to freak out. You want to just kind of be like a little brother getting tortured by his older brother, but that is the worst possible thing that you can do.
Yeah, I don't.
We're waiting on Mike here in a second. You guys got to stop with the dead wind. Like, it's bad. Like, you aren't bridging conversations.
Dude, you're forgetting. We're on YouTube now. Everyone listening will know that we were just watching you text.
I'm not texting, actually. I'm just grabbing. Look at that. I'm just grabbing my information because we're about to have a guest on.
That's true.
I'm just grabbing my information.
Hey, all right.
I'm literally looking at the questions that I've written for Michael Chiesa as I get started.
How long till he calls? Do we have time to quiz you?
Started with the first clue.
He's calling in 1 minute.
1 minute.
He's supposed to call at 8:45.
All right.
I'm sure it's pretty punctual.
So we're going to do a new thing. We're going to play a movie line. You guys got to guess it. So we confirmed that Julio and Dennis have never heard of this movie, which is, it's like, I don't even know what the word would be, sacrilege. It's like crazy to not have heard of this movie. They're going to.
Okay, show me.
All right. You got a 3-second clue. Dennis, what are you doing?
He's picking up.
Dennis just walked off.
Yeah.
You guys gotta like understand too. Like, I'm from the fucking the hood of Louisiana, so some of this shit I didn't get to see. Look, for reference, when I was 12, my summer camp thought it was a great idea to take a whole bunch of 12-year-olds to see Menace to Society. So don't go show. Back in the day, I never watched like much of anything. So don't.
I saw that. I was.
There he is.
Oh, here we go. Saved by the bell. Look,
what did I say? 8:45 on the dot.
Very punctual.
Kiesa calls in. That is the
as always is, punctual
on time.
AF
on time.
King of the time.
What's up, Mike?
King of the time is right.
King of the time at this point. Hey, Mike, I got to be honest with you. At this point, you've got to be grinding a lot harder than I am.
Oh, dude, yeah, I'm fucking. Yeah, I got off a plane today and worked out 4 times.
So, Mike, I was just with you a couple weeks ago in Vegas. Actually, yeah. It's a little bit longer than that now. And you were getting going in the camp. You were going already, but you really starting to buckle down and preparation for Anthony Pettis. How's all that going right now? How's your mind? How's your body? How's the game plan? How's the prep? How's everything as we come up on about 3 weeks to fight night between you and the former champ Anthony Pettis?
Man, I feel really good. You know what I mean? Like I was telling you before, I've done a few half camps out here in Las Vegas at Syndicate. I get along real well with John Wood. You know, we hit it off well. I've never lost when I've spent time training with him. And, you know, once the UFC Performance Institute came to fruition, you know, this was just a perfect fit for me to do a full camp. So everything's good. And I'm not shy to tell anybody my game plan. It's going to involve a lot of wrestling. You know what I mean? I'm not going to shy away from my roots no matter who I'm fighting. So it's going to involve a lot of that. And, you know, if this is I feel like this is going to be the best product that I've brought into the octagon to date. And I know it's such a cliche thing to say, but, you know, I really have the proof to back it, considering I spent 8 weeks out here training with Olympic level coaches at the PI. And, you know, I feel very, very, very well prepared for this match on April 7th.
You know, it's a big fight card, a championship fight in your weight class. Could you be in a better situation fighting a former champion on a big stage like this with an opportunity to really make a statement to everyone that's tuned in with the focus on the lightweights down in Brooklyn?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a perfect opportunity to showcase my skills during a month that's really there to showcase the whole weight class. I mean, obviously, the biggest lightweight bill is going to be Khabib versus Tony Ferguson. Very excited for that fight, you know, and I get to be the lightweight fight, the last lightweight fight before the main event. So, you know, I'm really excited about that. It's a good, I think that this is a good month. I mean, 223 is going to be awesome, but the whole month in April is just going to be an awesome month for the lightweight division. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of moving parts. But, you know, this is a perfect opportunity for me to showcase my skills, show how much I've grown, show how I can rebound from that controversial last fight. And, you know, my mind going into this is I'm just very, you know, there's always stress going into fights. You know what I mean? It can be a stressful sport at times. I'm really just feel really at peace with my preparation. And, you know, everything's just going great.
Mike, last time you fought, you know, you kind of mentioned it a little bit against Kevin Lee, but that was all the way back in June of last year. Now, the layoff, is it on purpose, or is this like they just didn't have anyone for you to fight, or did you need time? And if so, why? Why have you taken so much time away from the octagon after the fight with Kevin Lee?
You know, there's a lot of
we lost him. Foremost, Nick,
the fight got over.
Nick, and, Mike, we lost you there a little bit, bud. You said there are a lot of what?
There's a lot of moving parts to that answer, but you know, first of all, I had some things I had to heal up after that fight. Had a little bit of a shoulder issue. Took me about 8 weeks to get over that. And, you know, we were seeking some due diligence, trying to file that appeal. So, you know, there were some things that kind of kept me out involving the injury and the appeal. And then, you know, at this stage in my career, you know, I want to fight 3 times this year. I want to be more active. But to a certain extent, quality over quantity can be a key in having a successful career. I mean, I've never really got any formal fight offers from anybody. Like, there's a lot there, you know, there's always people like Mayerbeck and these other dorks that are like, oh, he has to turn a fight with me down. It's like, no, I never got an offer to fight anybody, honestly. Anthony Pettis, first it was Evan Dunham, and then it was Anthony Pettis. Those are the two formal fight offers that me and my amazing manager, Daniel Rubenstein, received. So, you know.
Dropping the Ruby plug.
But you know, it's about quality over quantity, you know. And I want to have a busy year, but, you know, I want the quality fights, you know what I mean? I'm an Ultimate Fighter champion. One of the hardest, longest seasons of the Ultimate Fighter in the history of the show. You know, I've put my time in. I've been in the UFC for about 6 years. You know, I want to fight the name guys, and I feel like I deserve that. And, you know, and I'm very thankful that I get the opportunity to take advantage of that when I fight Anthony.
You know, Mike, you just said quality over quantity. Now, by no means am I saying that Brian Ortega is not a quality opponent, but do you believe that Frankie Edgar, in that same situation, should have maybe said, I don't know, I'm fighting for the title, I don't need to take this fight. Why? I mean, it just seems like there's so much to lose and very little to gain because he's already fighting for the title. Why would you fight guys like Tai Sumov or those guys when you're already in the top 10? I mean, those guys need you to propel themselves higher into the rankings. I agree with you. You don't just fight anyone right now at this stage in your career.
No, yeah. You hit the nail right on the head. I don't think Frankie Edgar should have took that fight. You know what? But the reason why he took that fight is one of the reasons why we love Frankie Edgar so much.
Yes.
He is just that guy. He will fight anybody, and he will do it very well. I just think that sometimes being too tough can really work against you. You know what I mean? And that was one of those instances where Frankie, being such a badass, such a gritty, tough guy, it just played against him. You know what I mean? In a sense that he should have just sat and waited for the title. You know what I mean? And you know, that was unfortunate. That was a tough one to watch. I mean, Brian Ortega is a hell of a competitor. I'm a fan. I love watching the guy.
Yeah, but he's the man.
Frankie's, you know, he's up there in the echelon of some of the greats, especially for guys like you and me who connect to guys that are wrestlers. You know what I mean? So it's like, that was a really tough one to watch. I really wanted to see that Holloway fight. I think Frankie could have given the champion a really, really good run for his money. Really good run for his money, if not won the title.
How is, I always thought one of the most frustrating things when watching guys fight is when, especially off a controversial decision, is like, you don't really have control of, you know, you have to build yourself back up, whether it's a, you know, a real loss or a controversial loss or whatever it is. What's it like when you're in that limbo land where you're at someone else's mercy of like, how quickly will they give you the right matchup? Because, you know, right now you got a great matchup, you're on a great card, you're right back in the mix, but there's some guys where it seems like they have a controversial loss and then they just never get the right matchup. They just kind of, it takes forever. And they, is that, I always thought that not being able to control your own destiny in a way, is you guys just sit around with a bunch of anxiety or you just, and then as soon as you get the right thing, you're excited again? Like, how does that work?
Well, for me, it's not like I never sifted through a bunch of guys and waited for the right one. You know, honestly, we thought we were fighting Evan Dunham for a very long time. You know what I mean? We thought we were fighting Evan Dunham March 3rd. Things got shuffled around. You know, and Evan he's on a hell of a win streak. He's you know, undefeated in his last five fights. 4-0-1. He had the one draw against Benil Dariush. You know, he's a guy that he's in the bottom of the top 15. He's ranked. Like, all right, let's make a move. You know what I mean? Yeah. But they shifted things around and gave me Pettis. You know, for me, with the controversial loss and, you know, the obvious, I had to sit in limbo with the injury and, you know, trying to go through the appeal process, you know, that takes some time. And you know, after that fight, it was just making sure that when I come back, I'm going to come back very well prepared. You know what I mean? And, I didn't really think too much about the layoff. You know what I mean? Like I said, it's all about quality over quantity. And, you know, we had an opponent in mind for a long time, like for almost like 4 months, we thought we were fighting Evan Dunham, but things shifted around and I liked the way everything worked out. I think this worked out perfect. I think that Anthony is a very tough guy. You know, one thing that I don't like people, you know, and I shouldn't be sticking up for the guy because I got to beat him up on April 7th. But when people are like counting him out, you know what I mean? Like, oh, he's 2-5 in his last 7 fights and he's done and he's this and he's that. And I tell people, I'm like, you sound like such a casual fan. It's so easy to write a guy off when you look at the freaking guys he's fought. Look who he's fought. Max Holloway, Rafael Dos Anjos, Dustin Poirier. I mean, Anthony's been fighting the best of the best. And you know, when he comes up short, like, you can't write a guy off when he's competing against the top of the heap in 2 different weight classes. I haven't written the guy off at all. I think he's still tough as hell. He's still Showtime Pettis. He's still dangerous. He's flashy. He can put anybody out at any given time. You know, this is a real good fight. This is a tough competitor. And, you know, I'm expecting the best version of him.
You know, Mike, you got a massive fight on April 7th. But in the main event, Khabib, Tony Ferguson. Before we move forward, Mike, we've talked about your fight. We've talked about Anthony Pettis. I want to get your prediction on this one, and then I want to switch subjects. Because we got a guy named Julio in the studio, loves WWE, and I want to talk to him about our experience. But before, tell me about the Khabib-Tony fight. Who you think wins this fight and why?
I'm going to give you the most expert breakdown you've ever heard in your life.
Hey, Mike, here we go. Hey, my boss is at Fox.
This is,
you keep saying for it. You say, hey, I'll cut the mullet to get on Fox. Give him your – this is your audition tape right now. Let's go. Get him, Mikey.
Main event, UFC 223 at Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. You have Khabib the Eagle, Nurmagomedov versus Tony El Kikui Ferguson. Tough 13 champion at welterweight, back down to 55. The guy is on the longest win streak in the lightweight division, but he's going up against the unparalleled 25-0 Khabib Nurmagomedov. Breaking down the fight, the way I see it going, obviously, Khabib's got the equalizer. He's got the takedowns. He's got the wrestling. He's got the pressure. But what Tony's X factor is how dangerous he is from the bottom. Tony has shown that he can win fights from the bottom, and that's not just with submissions. That's also with doing damage. Now, I think Khabib's going to put Tony on his back. Tony's going to be spending more time on his back than a stripper with a cheap mortgage payment. But I know. That one won't go on Fox. But, you know. But
it's a good
Tony
line, though.
Is dangerous
that
on
much.
His back. Khabib is going to get punished for the takedowns. Tony has sharp elbows. He really knows how to create distance with his legs and bring his body in. He can work those elbows from a lot of different angles. I don't really see Tony throwing up too many submission threats. I think Khabib's just got too much top pressure, too much experience with the Sambo. I don't really think Tony's going to get off too many submission attempts, but I just see Tony doing a lot of damage from his back. It's not going to be enough to win the fight. I see Khabib winning 4-1 or a 3-2 decision.
Nice. Hey, that was good, Mike. Maybe a little bit too good. I don't know why I gave you the platform to actually take my job. But that was a great job.
Another one.
Nice, dude. You're really good at it. I hope if you can do that in front of cameras, there's no reason why Fox and those guys shouldn't be giving you a shot.
I was trying to figure out why.
I just want to sit next to Dominic Cruz and Mike Bisping and talk crap. You know what I'm saying?
No, dude. I'm telling you right now, you think you do until you're over there with them, and it is the most uncomfortable thing in the world because those guys act like they want to rip each other's heads off every time they work together.
He wants to rip your head off, dude. Dominic, I'm telling you, the bonus fight was you and Dominic Cruz going at it after the controversial fight. That was
he
awesome.
Was pissed. He was pissed. Jeremy Stevens wasn't even as mad as Dominic was about me saying that it was an illegal knee. Jeremy was pretty cool about it when he came on UFC Tonight. Every Wednesday, 8 in the East, 5 in the West on FS1. Make sure you tune in. Watch your boy on the show. But Jeremy was pretty cool about it. Dominic, not so much. You know, so, yeah, we got after each other. But Mikey, move forward. Or actually move back a few weeks to Las Vegas. We're over there doing the Ultimate Fighter. You come in and you visit on my team a little bit. Talk to the guys. Obviously, we can't tell any names that are going into the semifinals, doing well. You sit down and you talk to them about the experience. But you get a bonus. Mike, tell the listeners what your bonus was when we all hung out on that Sunday afternoon.
well, first and foremost, the bonus was I got to hang out with one of my childhood heroes, Daniel Cormier.
That's the answer he wanted.
Yeah.
Of course you would have to do that to me, Mikey. Horrible, horrible.
That's deep. That was a real bonus for me.
No, it wasn't. You know, what was the bonus, Mike?
Daniel, let's be honest. Look, real recognized real. You're the man. Real pro wrestler. Shut up,
Mike.
Black and red combat speed. You already know. But,
I read
it. You know, it was awesome to go talk to the team. You know, we got to go have dinner. And then, you know, you invited me to go to the WWF or WWE Elimination Chamber event.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, I'm all about it. You know, this is something I'm never going to do. Very exciting thing to go attend. And it wasn't until we were, like, walking into T-Mobile that everyone's like, yeah, we can't wait to see Ronda. And I'm like, what? Wait, what? Ronda's like, yeah, Ronda's signing your contract tonight. And I'm like, whoa, this just like went from like a level 10 to like, it's like an astronomical, like we're talking like, holy crap, we're going to go see Ronda Rousey in WWE. Like, what an experience. I mean, this is something that's like, you know, Ronda to us in the UFC, like she's a polarizing figure. She played a big role in women's mixed martial arts and the whole sport as a whole, and to be there and to be part of the event, I felt like I was a part of it. Not to mention you and Kane and your luchador masks from a front row, hooting, hollering. I mean, like, it was crazy. Like, you could see on Ronda's face, like, as she gets up there, she's kind of like being a little bit quiet on the mic, and the crowd's getting uneasy. But then the Ronda Rousey section, spearheaded by light heavyweight champ, soon to be heavyweight champ Daniel Cormier, we're just going freaking nuts for it. Like, she had like her own little section. Man, it was such an experience, madness. such a different set of energy. It was awesome.
It was madness. We were jumping up and down. We were screaming and yelling. We were like, hey, Ronda, don't trust them. Triple H and Stephanie were trying to set her up. We're like, don't trust them. They're trying to set you up. Then they made Kurt Angle, who's one of the baddest human beings. Look, Kurt Angle had to leave the ring because they insisted he left. They bullied him. And we were trying to tell Ronda they were setting her up. And sure as shit, they were setting Ronda up. And we let it be known. We were jumping up and down, screaming, yelling. It was truly one of the best nights. Mike, you look like a kid in the candy store wearing your rowdy Ronda Rousey shirt. He had on the rowdy shirt, you know, in the writing of Roddy Piper. And this dude was going mad. It was insane, dude. It was one of the best times. And Mike, it was fun to have you there, man. You seem so happy.
Yeah, dude, I really was. I felt like a kid, man. It was like a... you know, I grew up during the Attitude Era. You know what I mean? I was all into the WWE, and you know, I've gotten disconnected from it as I've gotten older. But it's like it brought out my inner child in me, and I was just, you know, I got hit in the head with a freaking camera, and I didn't even care. I was like, yeah, who cares? This is awesome.
That was that
it
night.
It was great,
she,
man.
She put Triple H to the table,
camp,
right?
Well, this camp has been awesome, dude. I mean, I'm out here training my butt off, and I get invited to go hang out with you and your friends, and go to the WWE event. I mean, this has been. That was a real treat. What a good way to break up the monotony that a training camp can sometimes bring. You know what I mean?
That was
hey,
the table
Mike,
night,
that's
right?
Super soft, Mike, that super soft voice that just tried to speak to you was Julio. He goes,
was I soft? I'm sorry. My mic's not on.
He looks into the mic and goes, was that really bad? Yeah.
I thought it was great. I thought it was great how you guys were including him in this conversation. This is exactly how me and Dennis were planning on including him in this podcast. Just let him
go talk.
What was that? I get to talk. No, that was that night. Triple H gets thrown through the table, right? Through the table.
Holy, you can't.
That was.
You can't tell them.
Yeah, and it's funny too because afterwards, Ronda she busted Triple H's head open, and she said backstage that really wasn't part of the script. It just happened.
She said that, hey, Julio. She told us that when she walked out, she saw everyone and wanted to say hi, but she wasn't supposed to like walk around the ring to like engage with the fans. It was crazy. But you know what was the coolest thing?
You could see it on her face, too. Like, she kept looking at us, and I felt like Ronda was going to, like, cry with happiness. Like, as everyone's kind of, like, the outside crowd's kind of uneasy, she'd look at us cheering, and I'm like, I could tell Ronda just, like, I feel like she wanted to just, like, sprint over and just, like, hug all of us.
She was so happy, Julio, because it's something she's wanted to do her entire life. Dennis, and you know what else was awesome? The guys, like, they were fighting in the Elimination Chamber, and they were all, like, kind of, like, as the lights were going off, they were kind of, like, showing us, like, they were kind of, like, doing this to us. Like, Roman Reigns and John Cena and all these guys, they were all kind of, like, acknowledging, like, what's up to all the guys sitting in the front row. It was cool.
How do you guys think she'll do in her match at Mania?
Mike. Me? Oh, I think she's going to do awesome. I mean, dude, we're talking Rowdy Ronda Rousey, one of the best female mixed martial artists ever. You know what I mean? I think she's going to kill it. I think it's going to be awesome. WrestleMania is the day after my fight, I believe, April 8th, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Man, that would be Sunday, a good way to cap off a win. To slingshot my way. That's in your stomping grounds, isn't it, Daniel?
Yeah, but it's not.
Yeah, it's down in Louisiana, but I'm not going to get to go this time. I got to start getting ready for Stipe.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You got a tall order ahead of you, my friend, but I have the utmost confidence and faith that you will train as you always do, and you will come out the victor.
Hey, it's his first fight, Mike. First fight with a reach advantage.
Shut up, dude. Hey, Mike, listen. Thank you for joining us, man. We really appreciate the time. Good luck in the last couple weeks of camp. Stay healthy. And I'll see you in Brooklyn. Nick used to go to a lot of fights, but now he's like two. Look, before the Warriors won a championship and Nick started wearing that stupid ring that we all hate, he used to go to fights. Now he's like too cool and he doesn't go anymore. But I'll be in Brooklyn. I'll be cheering. I'm excited to watch you fight, man. Good luck. Stay healthy. And again, thank you for the time.
Hey, thank you, Daniel. Thanks for having me on, and train hard as well, my friend.
All right, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks,
Mike.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thanks.
Hey, what a guy, huh?
No, that was good. Yeah. I was still trying to figure out. I guess I could just get hung up on the stupidest things. I was trying to figure out the amount of time a cheap hooker spends on her back. Is that a lot or no? What was it? The amount of time that a hooker with a cheap a stripper with a cheap mortgage. I was like, does that mean she spends a lot of time on her? Well, it's good timing.
I can't make the joke because look,
yeah, what the heck?
He's right there, like, jeez.
Those of you who can't see, DC just put his son in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Anyways, I was trying to figure out if it would be a cheap mortgage would mean there was a lot of time on the back or not a lot of time on the back, right? It would be a big mortgage would be more time on the back.
Yeah.
A cheap mortgage could almost mean like she's on her back and pops straight back up.
You guys are so
ridiculous. That was the only thing I was going to nitpick on, but then I fell asleep during the WWE part. And so
you don't like it that much, huh, Nick?
No, I don't. When I was a kid, I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm a lot older, so I was sitting there watching when the 2020 came on where they said it was fake and they showed how they did the razor blades in the foreheads, and I was crushed.
Dude, it wasn't even that for me, right? So it was like, I remember like, you know how like back in the day you would like look at everything was in the newspaper, and wrestling was so big in the mid-80s.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
It was like in USA Today. It was in the biggest newspapers when something big in wrestling happened. And at that point, like, we all thought this was real. I know I did, because my mom would never buy me a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So, but if you put it on, like, the channel, the pay-per-view channel, it would play, like, the fuzz, but you could hear the announcers for some reason.
That worked on Cinemax, too.
Why was that like that? Why was that like that? Like, does anybody know why that was like that? Like,
I was watching it. It's all fuzzy, and every once in a while you get like a third of the screen. You're like, hold on. You have to keep flipping back and forth through the channels.
Dennis should know
you
that.
Remember that? Like, that was the craziest thing. Yeah. It was these lines. You could hear the announcers, but then every now and again you'd like maybe make out a body form. You're like, oh my God, that was the Macho Man. And I would watch this and watch this and watch this. But I remember there was this rivalry, right? And the Iron Sheik was the most hated wrestler in the world, because he would do just despicable shit. Spit on the American flag, or he would kick Sergeant Slaughter's ass, and he would like talk about kicking Sergeant Slaughter's ass, right? And he's like, Sergeant Slaughter looks like G.I. Joe. And it's like he's a real American hero. But he can't beat this Iranian Sergeant Slaughter? No, Sergeant Slaughter was our guy, but the Iron Sheik was Iranian, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
He fucking put you in the camel clutch, and nobody ever got out, and he was just this despicable, horrible guy. And then we had a savior. It was Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Oh, yeah.
And Hacksaw Jim Duggan say, ho, and he'd have his stick, and he would put the American flag on himself, and he was so proud to be an American. And he was just a guy that would rid us of the Iron Sheik. Then they decided to leave the arena together, go off and get drunk, and they got arrested. And it was everywhere. Julio, do you remember this?
I might be a little, I don't mean this in an offensive way, but I might be a little too young for that.
How old are you, Julio?
35.
I'm 39, so yes, you would have been a very young kid. This was in the early 80s, right? This was in the early 80s, right?
A little before my time. But yeah. I recognize the wrestlers. I don't remember that story.
They got arrested together, and it was everywhere. And it just blew the lid off.
Dude, that
it just blew the lid off because how? I mean, they said the Iron Sheik was so hated that they would sneak him out of arenas in trunks and shit to get past the fans that were just outside.
Yeah.
Because everybody thought this was real.
Oh, yeah. When you were back then, it was you would just get enraged.
Like it was crazy.
Because it felt real. So it was like, watching a real fight where you.
Well, there are very few characters nowadays with given, you know, the social media and internet and everything that can pull off that sort of character where there's, you know, because it's so transparent and we can see wrestlers, you know, on a Saturday night hanging out with each other. There are very, very few wrestlers that still stay within character.
You couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when Rusev was trying it, right? See him at the – Rusev is like, I hear you in America. But then you see him at the Clippers game wearing a jersey. I'm like, come on. This doesn't work. Like, it doesn't work, right? Because these guys back then, they were all in. The Iron Sheik hated America. That's all we knew. You know, Sting was the guy that wore the face paint, and he was a superhero. So you loved him for it.
That was when I lost it around then. My favorites were Tito Santana.
Oh, he was good.
Superfly Snuka.
Oh, yeah.
And I like Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson. Tony Atlas was like...
He did?
Rocky Johnson. Those guys were badass, because he would just look like a superhero.
Yeah, you're talking about the 70s, though. You're going a little far back to me.
You know what's funny? So I remember when Hulk... I saw Big John... I think I saw Big John Studd fight Hulk Hogan at the Cow Palace. I remember going to that.
Oh, wow.
But I remember it was Hulk... I don't even know I remember this, but Hulk Hogan, I think he beat a guy called Bob Backlund, who was like
Bob a real Backlund wrestler. Was the man. And he had the chicken wing.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think I was in England and I bought a comic book and it talked about it was like this cartoon character that looked like Hulk Hogan that was gonna beat the and it was like I remember thinking there it was the first time that I thought for a second, like, how the fuck did they make this comic book so fast about something that was real? But you kind of logged it in your memory book, right? And then later I was like, wait, what came first? The comic book or this fucking storyline? I liked Hulk Hogan.
Fast printer.
Who's the
guy? Do you remember how big it was that, I mean, Hulk Hogan had his own cartoon on Saturday mornings.
I remember that.
And Roddy Piper was the bad guy. It was like, it was so big that
I got in a fight.
There was nothing like it.
I got in a fight after school. I think I was probably in third or fourth grade, and this was true. I really was, really thought this was helping me. And me and this kid, we've been talking shit to each other like all week, and his name was Jason Schiffman. And I remember, I think like he threw home plate at me, and so then he was drinking water, and I bumped him, so he hit his teeth on the water fountain or something. So we called each other out somehow. So we're gonna fight on the field right in front of all the other.
Tell me what movie?
Whatever. Third or fourth graders. And we're going to fucking box is what I'm thinking, right? I'm going Tommy Hearns on him, but he got me in a fucking headlock, right? He got me in a headlock, and he just took me to the ground, which is like a letdown for everyone that walked all the way out to the field.
You start raising your hand like this.
And I'm stuck. No, yeah, so I started shaking my hand like fucking Hulk Hogan and shit. And like, nothing was happening. And I was like just to show everyone that I'm still alive, but I can't.
Like the Hulk up.
I'm stuck on the fucking ground. I can't get up, but I was doing that. I really was. But yeah, I remember me and my brother. We would just jump off the couch and land on shit. We thought
what is he
tried
doing?
To hulk up.
I did.
He hulked up.
I don't know if it was because I thought I was going to overpower him and his hands were just going to pop off my neck, or if I thought I just wanted to show the crowd, you know, that
you
I was
okay.
I was still good.
You were still good,
dude. I swear, like one time I used to do that, and like when I was a little kid, I was like in third grade. I power drive one kid, and he like it hurt him. So I was like, oh my god. I was like, what is going on? And I mean. He's alive, I promise.
That could be bad.
I know, but I just like ran. I was like a kid panicking because he was like hurt.
Yeah.
But he was at school the next day, you know, so everything worked out. But like, it could have been real bad. Yeah. So now you see like on the video game, you see on the before it starts, it always says, don't try this at home. They had none of those things when I was growing up. And I would try that shit, man, because that's all I knew. You know, you're trying to wrestle like a... You know, doing all this stuff. Now, Tito Santana was good.
He's a good wrestler.
I hated Roddy Piper.
Of course, but that's what you were supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's how you knew that he was doing his job, right? Because now, it's like I look back and I remember being at my grandmother's house and just hating the Four Horsemen. Like, they were the worst. They were the scum of the earth. Like, I hated them. But now looking back, I'm like, man, I love the Ric Flair, actually.
Yeah.
I love him now because I look back at his interviews and I'm like, oh, my God, this was amazing. But he was doing his job, and he was making you hate him because that's what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to be the guy that you all despised And we all did. You know, he was just the best at his job. And that's why we hated those guys. But
what about George the Animal Steel? You guys remember him? He would sit there and lick. He would lick the turnbuckle and look all weird.
He would bite it. He would bite it off, and all the cotton would come out.
Yeah.
Or Jake the Snake. Remember when Jake the Snake put his snake on the Macho Man?
He bit him for real.
Who was Tito Santana's
Macho for real?
Who was Tito Santana's rival? Who was his? Who was
the
his
Model Martel?
He would fight Rick the Model Martel. Hated that guy.
They were a tag team.
Do they still have an Intercontinental Championship now?
Oh yeah,
it's a triple threat
match over at WrestleMania with The Miz and Finn Balor and Seth Rollins.
Oh my God! Who are these people?
It wasn't as big as it used to be, but now it's starting to get some prestige.
The Miz is doing a really good job with that.
But back in the day, I mean, like the Macho Man and those guys wore the belt. Yeah. The Ultimate Warrior, like the biggest names, wore that belt.
Who's the guy that slammed Andre the Giant? I remember
it was Hulk Hogan. Was that Hulk Hogan? Hey, it was the slam heard around the world.
I remember that
WrestleMania 3.
You remember when Hulk Hogan walked out with Mr. T, and then Captain Lou Albano walked out with Cyndi Lauper?
Cyndi Lauper, yeah.
Remember Cyndi Lauper was in there? It was the biggest thing. Like,
I guess we used to love WrestleMania.
Just watch it again. We could watch it in here and do like a live podcast. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it would be a lot of fun. We that should be another podcast where we watch old school wrestling. And we talk people through it.
Yeah, let's get the old ones. They'll bring back some memories.
Junkyard Dog and all this.
Well, the thing that's coming up, the Under the Giant special on HBO is coming out.
We're supposed to ask DC, someone on Twitter told us to ask you a Junkyard Dog story.
Oh, my God.
I forgot about that.
I don't know who told, but I don't know if I've told you guys the story, but the Junkyard Dog, God rest his soul, he's passed now. He was living in my hometown for a while. And because you like Mid-South wrestling, they used to wrestle in the South. It was during the territories. And it was the Junkyard Dog, the Big Cat Ernie Ladd. Those guys were massive down in the Louisiana, Texas area. Well, JYD was living in my hometown. And one time, my ex-wife, when we were in high school, she worked at Sonic. And the Junkyard Dog had like an autograph signing. But he was just kind of like a normal guy at that point, you know, just living in the town. And you know, a lot of those wrestlers, man, they don't do too good because it's such a hard job. A lot of guys get addicted to painkillers because, dude, it's physical. And I went. I was like, oh, my God, a chance to be. She goes, there's a wrestler going to be at Sonic on Saturday or Sunday. She goes, you should come. She goes, the Junkyard Dog or something like that? I was like, oh, my God, it's JYD. So I showed up, and I showed up early, right? I'm like, if this thing starts at 3, I'm going to be there at 2:30 because I got to make sure I get to meet him, you know, before he leaves. Bro, I was the only one there the whole time. Yeah. No one came. So I sat there with the Junkyard Dog for like an hour. And then he's talking about his daughter who was in college or something. And then I swear, like 4 or 5 years later, I think he died driving to her graduation or something. Dude, it was the craziest thing in the world. But I sat there with him for a long time. And then, Julio, do you remember Brodus Clay?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm on the airplane the other day coming home from L.A., and Brodus Clay is on this plane with his girlfriend. And do you remember how, like, he was, like, this big athletic dude that could jump and roll and do all that?
Mm-hmm.
He boards the plane now, like, with... like at the beginning because he needs more time because he's so big. But dude, his knees are shot. He walks so slow now. I'm like, but when he gets into the ring, I bet he's his old normal self. So he pushes through all that pain to put on a show. They said Andre the Giant was in constant pain.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, he was so big. He was putting so much pressure on his joints and that's why he was known for being such a big drinker. It was because he was essentially just drinking away any sort of pain that he would have. It's
crazy the life that these guys live. I mean, everybody talks about how fake it is, but these dudes go through the ringer because they travel 300 days a week putting on the show. That's why I hate fans that try to overtake the show. Man, go over there and enjoy with these guys. These guys are putting themselves on the line for you. Don't try to overtake the show with these stupid chants. Dude, or a beach ball. After a while, they're like throwing a beach ball in the crowd. I'm like, I wish I could punch someone in the face for doing this, trying to take away from what these guys are doing in the ring. These guys are really like putting themselves through a lot.
I think when I was a kid in England, there was a guy called Haystack that was like a legend. But so the one thing we tried to do when we were sponsoring Ben Henderson for Dethrone, I thought this would have been the greatest promo video ever. I reached out to Superfly Snuka through his website, and I and I think it was like his daughter had put up a website, but they never replied. But we talked to Ben about it, and he was down. We wanted to get Superfly out, and we wanted Ben to get up on the top of a octagon and do the whole arms out thing, right? Because he has the hair, and he's all wild jumping out, and then have Superfly like be in the ring, like almost like teaching him how to launch himself off the cage. That would have been fucking awesome. I thought
that would have been a pretty cool thing. I gotta admit, there are times when you have great ideas. Good job, Nick.
Like right now, Dennis. Hey, Dennis, right put now. This time down. Use all it right. as a use it as a clip.
All right. Hey, also, let's kind of get off the wrestling. But I got a text the other day from someone wearing a Motor City Hitman shirt, Tommy Hearns. Motor City Hitman. So, with that thought, me and Nick decided that we are going to now start buying some of those shirts, the Motor City Hitman, and we're going to start giving them out. We're going to give out one or two a show to people who can answer trivia about the Motor City Hitman, because Tommy Hearns, I feel, doesn't get the credit he deserves for the boxer that he was, and we are going to do our part to raise Hitman awareness going forward. So,
Hitman awareness.
I'm going to order some shirts, you guys reimburse me, and then we're going to send them out. Before we go, let's get to these movie trivia. We got to do this. Let's do the movie trivia before we get going.
All right, so you get a 3-second clip, and you have to tell us what movie this is.
Okay, let's go.
It's totally obvious, except these two guys couldn't figure it out. So it could just be that I live in a bubble.
You know the guy, Rick Kane, huh? He's going to stomp your ass.
I mean, right now, listening is going, DC is so obvious.
Wait. I can't really understand the words.
Play it again. There we go. Can we slow it down for him? Here we go.
You know the guy, Rick Kane, huh? He's going to stomp your ass.
Dude.
What should we do? Should we tell him or should we just wait?
Goodfellas. You should have another clue. You have another one, though.
Should we have the first person that like tells us on Twitter win something? Or should we
wait till next week? And then we get to the next one.
One of the greatest movies of all time.
Wait, give me a couple clues instead of telling me.
Nia Peoples. Do you know who Nia Peoples is?
No.
Dude, these guys didn't either. You guys just might as well Google Nia Peoples.
All right, Nia Peoples. Let me see.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who it is.
Let me see what happens if you Google Nia Peoples.
All right, let's see.
It's a dude.
Hold on. Let me see. NIA, right?
Yep. NIA and then PEEPLES. Wait a minute. You got to.
Nia
Peoples.
Okay, let's see.
This is like a staple of childhood. It's going to make you want to go ride a horse and put aloe all over yourself.
Oh, are you talking about. Is this the gal from. Let me see. That one. Bill and Ted or some crazy shit like that? Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures or something like that? Is that what it is?
No, it's. You want me to tell you now?
Yeah.
It's North Shore. How do you not know what North Shore is?
I swear to God, I've never seen North Shore. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I grew up in the hood. You grew up in fucking Burlingame. Dude, he got a bunch of mouth. I'm going to get any of this shit right.
North Shore is about a kid. He won a surf contest at a wave pool in Arizona. He won a free ride to the North Shore. Next thing he did, he won the big wave competition.
I've never fucking seen that.
I could see DC going
to it.
Very likely. Oh, you got to get it. It's got a 6 out of 10 on IMDb.
Dude, I swear to God, I have never seen that.
Well, you're going to.
That's like me asking you if you've ever seen like Dolomite or some shit like that. Have you ever seen Dolomite?
No.
Do you know who Rudy Ray Moore is? I mean, come on. That's like me asking.
I don't even think that's the same thing.
I swear to God, there is a show called Dolomite.
Dude, 1987. How old were you in 1987?
I was 8.
8. You should have been watching it. How old were you?
4.
4. Debatable. How old are you? 26.
Debatable.
Dennis,
I'm 25.
21, yeah. Dennis is too old to be watching fucking movies in 1987.
Wait, how old do you guys think I am?
Anyone listening, I would highly recommend like you watch this movie. It says right here, you can just watch the movie.
Dennis, legit 60.
Shit, really?
Earlier he was telling Julio, he's like, hey, Julio, you know, it's like, you know when you take pictures of girls, they're like, hey, can you hold the camera a little higher?
Yeah.
Dennis was like, can we raise these fucking cameras up a little bit around here? That's ridiculous.
Hey, I look like a fucking frog.
Dennis takes pictures from behind. It's like the back of his hair.
Can you dip the lights?
Hey, do you guys have another one for me, or was that it?
Let's see. That was all I had, but I don't let me give me 2 seconds and I can think of another one.
No, no, no. It's okay because get a few for me next week. That was crazy that you thought I've seen North Shore.
Well, no, I didn't, but I thought even if you hadn't, it's like I've given you a present now for the next. You got 96 minutes of entertainment right ahead of you.
I am not watching that. Yeah, I am not watching it. Hey,
I looked up Dolomite. Please. It just says it's limestone.
I don't know what I've never seen it though. Hey, listen though. my suggestions as we part. My suggestions as we part.
Yes.
If you haven't, I know you have once, Nick. You saw the Black Panther, Dennis. You haven't seen it?
No.
Make sure you see it. Wakanda Forever. Make sure you go and watch the Black Panther. Amazing show. Julio.
It was awesome.
Julio.
I talked about it for about an hour and a half on my podcast.
Forever.
And I told Dennis to listen to it after he was done watching it. He was supposed to go last night and he didn't go.
Yeah. I took Luke to see it and I stayed awake the whole movie, which
is a good barometer for Nick.
Probably only happened 3 or 4 times in the last Luke's 9 in the last 9 years. So yeah. It's pretty good. So I got Black Panther, like I stayed awake for Romeo and Juliet. I think I stayed awake for most of Moana. But it was the first superhero movie that I made it the whole way through.
You like the kid shit. You like the kid shit. Hey,
and you got a baby brain.
Yeah, you like the kid shit. You got a baby brain. You know, otherwise you have a short attention span. Hey, watch Westworld. Watch Westworld as they're getting ready to release season 2. Westworld on HBO. Amazing.
Yeah, have you seen that Julio?
I'm trying to finish Game of Thrones on season 5. So,
Game of Thrones. Look,
you got time to catch up next week.
Let's say, yeah, because it's not coming back till next year. But let's talk about that next week. Guys, when we tune in next week, we got some Game of Thrones talk. You guys, homework for the week, watch Westworld.
The whole thing or Westworld. One episode?
Watch a couple to try to get caught up.
Hey, some of us are out here grinding all day. We don't have time to just sit here and binge watch TV shows.
Kings of the grind.
Yeah.
I really don't know what you do, Nick. Honestly, I'm still trying to figure it out.
I watch North Shore.
I still have no idea what you do.
I think 100 times. Yeah. Taking horse rides down the beach.
I seriously don't know what you do for a living. I am still trying to figure that out. Dennis, Julio, and I are hardworking men. We still don't know what you do, but we'll figure it out at some point.
Uh-huh. Right. Hey, Nick just fired a bunch of people today. Yeah, that's what he does.
It evolved quickly.
Yeah, he does. Hey, guys, it's been fun. Once again, it's been fun. They're getting better and better and funner and funner. Julio, join us sometimes, man. We love it. Yes,
Wakanda Forever.
Wakanda Forever. My brother.
Dude, when I listened to part of Julio's podcast, and they literally were breaking down, like, did you see the fourth warrior in the back from the left? Do you think he's part of the blah, 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 blah? Well, he could be, because did you notice that he had, like, one streak of gray hair, which could mean that he's part of the blah, 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 blah. It was crazy. I was like...
You're passionate. It was a great movie.
It was a great movie, and Nick, I watch guys like Julio all the time.
Yeah.
I watch guys like Julio on YouTube. I'm still trying to figure out who the Night King is on Game of Thrones. I think it might be Bran, but who's
the Night King?
We have to save that for next week.
Well, watch you should have. We'll plug Julio's podcast. You can,
Dennis. I'm sorry.
You can watch Julio's podcast. Please.
You're going. You are about to be introduced to the Night King pretty soon.
Right. Julio's podcast is at Run J. Wait. It's the Run JMMC podcast. There's a whole episode on Black Panther.
If you love Black Panther, make sure you tune in. And the Startup Addicts. Make sure you guys listen to the Startup Addicts. The Startup Addicts is a great podcast.
We got
your business fix.
We get you coming on this week or what?
Yes, I'm coming on this week. We got it.
Nice.
Let's do this.
Sweet.
But all right, boys, I got to go. It's been fun. This has been Talking Talker episode number
20.
Number 20.
20,
yeah. Right?
Yeah, we broke. Yep.
Someone here has to keep track.
We are now starting to build a foundation. Guys, before we go, make sure we all salute each other.
Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever. Wakanda forever. All right, boys. All right. I'm out.
Hey, if you see DC yawning, he's lying.
Later, guys. Yes, it is a lie. DC, how much you weigh right now? 237. All right, boys.
All right.
Later.
See ya.